What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I've been in for Pat all this week. Well, there's no limit to what Off the Ball can produce, because not only do they cover in-depth coverage of all the sports, analysis and insights, but we're now joined by Cameron Hill, the digital producer of Off the Ball, because we're delving into lesser known facts about topical sports items. And of course, Wimbledon is nothing more topical than that. SW18 and all that's going on. And welcome, Cameron. You've actually looked at the historic Irish connection between Wimbledon and Irish people. Let's start with Fergus Murphy.
Yeah, so we do have an actual Irish person at Wimbledon this year, not in a playing capacity, but Fergus Murphy is a tennis official and umpire. Last year, the now 53-year-old Dubliner was in the umpire's chair for a Wimbledon singles, men's singles final for the first time when Carlos Alcaraz defeated Novak Djokovic. So he started his umpiring around Dublin in the 1980s in the domestic leagues. He was in King's Inns and left that and has umpired at Grand Slam level since the mid-90s.
Professionally.
So he's been in the chair for quite a while. He's known for having several scrapes with top players, the likes of Djokovic, Roger Federer, Andy Roddick. He's got into it a few times with even Rafa Nadal, who's usually quite mild-mannered. But his most high-profile tete-a-tetes have been with tennis's bad boy, so to speak, Nick Kyrgios. So Kyrgios was fined €102,000 in 2019 after a tantrum at the Cincinnati Masters. He called Murphy an effing tool and a potato with arms and legs, which I thought was pretty cruel. Walked off court, didn't shake hands.
Kyrgios is famed for his abuse.
Yeah.
When things aren't going his way, he blames everyone, only himself. And he's been injuries struck lately, but he Fergus Murphy got it in the neck from him anyway.
He did, absolutely. In fact, earlier that year in 2019, he took charge of another Kyrgios match, and the Aussie star was remonstrating with Murphy over a particular call. We had a clip, but unfortunately the audio wasn't good enough for it. But he finished his
tirade. There's a lot of beeping, is there?
A little bit. And then it just about comes through at the end. He says, "Your hat looks ridiculous," because he's wearing a baseball cap, Murphy. And he said, "Your hat looks ridiculous. It's not even sunny." Which I think was a particular affront as an Irish person. If you think of, like, we wear shorts from March onwards.
Yeah.
We take it where we can get. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I suppose it goes with the territory of being an umpire. Even the poor ball boys and girls have got it in the neck at times. But I suppose technology has made the job a bit easier now with Hawkeye and all that kind of stuff where, you know, and Let's and all that is all done technically. Mm. Let's go on to Veer Thomas Gould. Who was he?
So he was born in Waterford in 1853, and it was the last Irish man to make the men's single final. He was one of the favourites, actually, to win the singles in 1879, only dropped two sets on the way to the final that year, and his opponent in the decider was Reverend John Thornycroft Hartley. That's difficult to say.
Okay, yeah, and that's going back a long way. 1879.
Yeah,
and what happened in the final? Did he win?
No, so he... The Reverend was not expecting to reach the final, so he had to return to his parish church in Yorkshire after the semi-final to give a sermon, came back on the Monday and won in straight sets. Now, there's claims by historians that Gould was nursing a, quote, roaring hangover in the final. So mightn't have
different
been
a era.
Mightn't have been at his fighting weight. But anyway, that was the pinnacle of his career. After that, things go rapidly downhill for him. Drink, opium and gambling all combining to leave him in serious debt. He married in 1891, but was heavily in debt and took one final gamble, so to speak, by heading to Monte Carlo, borrowing £40 from an Emma Levine, who was the widow of a Stockholm broker. They lost all the money. They were confronted about it, and then it appears there was an altercation before Miss Levine was reported missing. So police investigated the villa. There was bloodstains all over the walls, the ceiling and the furniture. There was also a dagger and a butcher's knife with blood on them. I'm not going to go into the particulars, but basically it was Gould and his wife who were found guilty. So Gould is the only ever Wimbledon finalist who's also a convicted murderer.
Quite a gruesome tale there. Okay, a different era, of course. Now, Mabel Cahill.
So this is fascinating. She's been all but forgotten, and she's probably the greatest Irish tennis player of all time. So she was likely born in Ballyconner House in Ballyragget in County Kilkenny in 1863 to Michael Cahill, who was a Justice of the Peace for the county. She joined Fitzwilliam Lawn Tennis Club in Dublin, very famous club in the 1880s.
Still there, yeah.
Still
yeah.
there, exactly. And the Irish Open is there every year.
The Irish Open's gone down a bit in standing. I remember it was held the week after Wimbledon at quite a billing, and you get, you know, kind of, I suppose, B-rated players, you know.
Some
maybe.
Big ones too. Yeah, Rod Laver played it.
They seem to have lost their footing. But anyway, continue on with Mabel.
So she, apparently, according to a really good biography online by Mark Ryan, she emigrated to the US in 1889. And her tennis prowess soon came to the fore. She joined the New York Tennis Club, reaching the final of both the women's and mixed doubles in their own tournament in 1890. Then she won five Grand Slam titles, so the women's singles title in 91 and 92. She defeated Ellen Roosevelt, who was a first cousin of FDR, then won the women's doubles titles in both of those years and the mixed doubles title in 1892. Then she retires. She withdraws from the sport entirely in 1893. Things seem to take a turn. She moves back from New York to London in 1897, moving to Southport. She contracts TB in 1905 and spends the final few months of her life in a workhouse infirmary in Ormskirk. She's buried in an unmarked grave in the Anglican Church of St. Peter in St. Paul. And then nothing's really heard of. No one hears about her for ages. In 1936, the US Lawn Tennis Association get in touch with their Irish counterparts. They want to give a medal to Cahill for all her achievements. They can't track her down. They do track down a niece. They can't give the medal. The time had passed, but they rewarded her with all the trophies she'd won. And then in 1976, she was inducted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame. She remains the only Irish person to be honoured there, but even the Hall of Fame records that she remains one of the Tennis Hall of Fame's greatest mysteries. So it's such a shame because she was prolific in her day and then just dropped off the scene. But hopefully she'll be remembered for years.
So she won five Grand Slams?
Yeah. Unprecedented. She absolutely
the only Irish person to ever do it.
Yeah. Yeah, at loads of different levels. So hopefully history will reflect her prowess at that time.
Indeed. Well worth recalling. Cameron Hill, digital producer with Off the Ball, giving us hidden histories of the Irish connection from Wimbledon. Thank you indeed. Now
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.